Tonight we're going to look at a subject matter that we can all see and relate to, especially in our generation. It goes on from generation to generation. But sometimes it doesn't go on as bad as it seems other times. And that is the focus. We need more of Jesus and less of toxic religion. Now, let me give the definition, such as of toxic. It is a poisonous material, any poisonous material, capable of causing death or serious debilitation. Now, poison that we think of would be a physical chemical, or would be an agent, or something that would we would ingest or to get poison. But folks, the greatest poison we're dealing with today is that of false doctrine when it comes to God. False doctrine is one of the greater poisons in the minds of societies, or reading Scripture, even with Christians. When we read Scripture, we need to remember that as we're reading it, we need to look at the Scripture in the context of the situation, what is going on. When Jesus says something, you do not second guess as to, well, was he really sincere in that? It's like one of the inmates at prison with the chief of chaplains that day, when Chaplain Dan had worked so many, 45 minutes or an hour, however long, telling him about Jesus and what Jesus said: you can't do this, you cannot murder, you can't sell drugs, you can't do this. And then he looked at him finally, and Chaplain then says, now, what do you think? And he said, well, Chaplain Dent, I really believe Jesus said it, but he didn't mean it. And that's where we see going on in churches today, within the lives of Christians and within communities of people saying, well, yeah, I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Maybe God really didn't mean what he said. Is that not one of the greater problems within the church, within the unity of the Christian family now? If the Lord says it, he meant it, and we need to believe it. Okay, toxic, we got that definition. Religion. Religion is a belief in a God or a group of gods. So when you all hear me, and I know it aggravates some folks that listen, that'll let me know it every once in a while when I speak of Christianity is not a religion. Well, let me do it this way. To the world, Christianity is a religion. To the Christian, as I said this morning, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because a religion is a belief in a God or a group of gods. So therefore, do not take the Christian faith and just lump it in. You know, it's just like all the other religions. Remember, that's what the trouble that the Hebrew nation got into when they were telling God they wanted their own king. They wanted their own king so they could be like other nations. And God, once again, explaining to them, if you get a king, then he will not fight for you. He will take what you have. He'll take a portion. You'll be working for him. But no, the argument kept going until, give us a king so we're like everyone else. Do you all hear anything similar to that today that is going on? Well, make America like all the other nations. There, you can't make America like all the other nations. We are cut with a different cutter. Everybody wants to become an American for some reason. So if we change to be like all the other nations, don't you think sometimes we ought to stop and make a comment? America has been good to me and my family. Each one of us could make that statement. And God has blessed America greatly. Why would I want to be like any other nation? 48 countries I've been in. And the greatest desire I had in from all 48 different countries was to get back home to Eatown so I could get a hamburger that tasted like, it didn't have rat meat or something in it. Anyway, I never felt in love with another nation. I love my nation, but see, then why don't you and I understand, as we walking the Christian walk, do we not love Christ? Do we not express our love to him more than all the other gods? Because again, religion can focus on plural gods or any animal or any of this. 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning. Now, this is what happens when people, I want to study all religions. I've had to study the background of different religions in order to know where they were coming from. But never to study the background of religions and looking for a way for me to find that peace. Here's what's going on. This is what Paul is telling Timothy and saying, Timothy, I want to point out these kind of people to you. Here's their problem. 2 Timothy 3:7. They're always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Many people, folks, when focusing on religion type of study, are always learning, but they never find peace. You and I will never find the peace that surpasses all understanding in a concept of a religion. We can only, and we have found that peace in a relationship to Jesus Christ. It is never, the people who study and study and study, and they keep studying, but then they don't quite get it, so they go study in another form. And you say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for peace. Peace does not come through study. It comes through a person. Peace is not something that you're going to get with every degree that you end up racking up. And I know every one of you will know people that are career education college goers. You get one degree and you stay in school. As long as they could stay in school, didn't have to work. And, you know, somebody send me to school, whatever. But the focus must be we're not always learning but never able. A relationship isn't different. When you learn, everybody loved Elvis. I'm looking over here at the older people. Everybody loved Elvis when he got. Now, Elvis Presley. Elvis, a great rock and roll singer in my era. I mean, I would go to the State Theater, go in there to watch one of his movies. You couldn't hear what he was saying or anything. Oh, silly girls were screaming and yelling all the time. He'd walk in a room and they'd start screaming and yelling. And yet, the excitement of him did not bring them inner peace. Although, when he died, I thought a lot of them was getting ready to go on be with him because they couldn't believe, how in the world can America exist without Elvis? Isn't that right, Paula? Okay, never able to acknowledge the truth. Remember, you can learn, but never ever learn the truth. Relationship, here it is. A relationship is a passionate attachment, meaning when I'm talking about our relationship with Christ, passionate. Now, it's always passionate from his side, and ever so often we become passionate from our end. When things are going well, think of your own life. When things are going real smooth, so often we have a tendency to forget that God is the one who gave us the smooth sailing. So we use the excuse by, I just don't want to bother the Lord with this. I know that he's too busy, so while things are going good for me, I'll leave him alone. That is foolishness and has nothing to do with the passion of the love that he has for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have to smile, folks. You all know how many times I will quote that scripture in a sermon. I can't remember a sermon that some way I don't work it in somewhere around there two or three times when I'm preaching. But it's just like the email I got one time. Are you ever going to preach something different on Easter? And you know, there's a lot of people that want to know, I want to hear a different message. There's not a different message about Easter. There's one message. And our trouble now is that too many people are trying to change the message. Well, you got to get us excited. Hey, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying for our sins and coming back from the tomb saying that we are going to do the same thing, if that's not exciting for you, you're not going to hear it here. Which leads me to another. I'll let you all hear this. The preacher, young preacher, started preaching, hadn't pastored for very long in that church. And he was raised in sort of the high church era. And this was a high church that he's pastoring in. And he would preach and he'd hit something solid in scripture, and this one person in the back yelled out, "Amen, preacher, amen." Well, the pastor cleared his throat, almost lost his place because he was reading, and he went back to preaching. He hit some scripture again, and that same man yelled, "Amen, preacher, amen." So the pastor cleared his throat and trying to get through it, you know, and saw the deacons heading back in that direction. And so he continued on his sermon, and the man said again, "Amen, pastor." And the preacher just stopped. And he said, "Why do you continually disrupt me when I'm preaching?" And he says, "Because I have the Spirit." And he said, "I don't know what you got, but you didn't get it here. So be quiet back there." And that's the feeling so often from the pastor standpoint. Okay, toxic religion produces toxic faith. Number one, toxic faith churches. Compulsive religious activity. Earn or burn plan of eternal life. Now, again, when you take away from the basic salvation through Jesus Christ, and if you take away from that, add to that. Remember, the great scholars, many of them and many of the smart people and all said they don't believe in Christ and that he's the Savior because Christianity is such a simplistic religion. So anything that's simple can't be true. And it was always the problem in New Testament era was the people saying, "Christ dying for my sins, but I'm used to me having to do this, walk so many miles, do all of this for it." Therefore, Christianity could not be real because it's too simple. And the Apostle Paul let them know it was the simplicity of the gospel that turned so many against Christ. Too simple. I can't imagine someone would die for me and take on my sins. And then just by grace, through faith, I get to go to heaven? Oh, just way too simple. You Christians are really messed up. You know, I really feel good about being messed up as a Christian because I do have that inner peace. I do, even in the midst of sorrow, hate, cancer, or all the other garbage, to be able to have the peace that only Christ can give. Folks, If that's simple, I want to keep it simple. What didn't Jesus tell us, though, also in speaking about keeping it simple? That unless you and I became as a little child, we would not enter the kingdom of heaven. Meaning faith as a child trust, a child believes. And as that child trust and that child believes, and that child, you know, wants to go see Jesus, remember that? And the apostles, oh gosh, the apostles went nuts because the kids were going to Jesus. And you'd have to really study that part of the scripture to understand when Jesus lit back into them. And he said, paraphrase was really to back off, it's what we'd use. Actually, he said, shut up. Boy, that's not nice for anybody to say nowadays. But the Lord backed them off. You let the little children come to me because of them is the kingdom of God. And their simple faith believing. Oh, I got this for you too, folks. Remember, God is not going to ask you to quote scripture or to learn or memorize so much before you enter heaven. I don't have to know how to spell Jesus to recognize him as my Savior. But I do know this, that it is his love that he placed within me, and it is his peace that I have, and the excitement and the joy. About, I am so excited about realizing that we are going to get to be together forever, and we're still going to know one another in eternity. But it's going to be a prayer meeting. It's going to be we don't need revival, sir. It's going to be an exciting period of time for eternity, and we're going to be working for the King. He wants us down here in this boot camp era, period of time in this body, to start working. And then he will assign additional tasks. Work in his ministry. Who do you work for, Chaplain Vance? I want to know your boss's name because I'm going to call him. You were very rude. Sure, no problem. God. All you got to do is get on your knees, close your eyes, and start talking. He's there. Jeremiah 6:14. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. Now listen to Jeremiah. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. This is God coming through Jeremiah saying, these people, he's talking about the religious leaders. They offer superficial treatment for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. Do we not remember the New Testament, the scripture of Jesus and his statement when he said, I did not come to bring peace? Man, that really bothers a lot of people too. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division between a mother and their children, a father and a son. And, of course, the religious leaders of this day and that day said, well, we don't need to be preaching on that part of Scripture. The sword he was talking about, folks, is the same sword that he's talked about from old to new to what's to come. The sword is his word. He came and he said, I'm going to bring the sword. The sword of Jesus Christ is the word of God. Meaning, I've come to give my word to those who will hear. Now, many will lose a relationship because they accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Or they will make angry close relationships because they're taking a stand where Christ, they feel, has called them to take. Therefore, the division is drawn simply by the edge of God's sword, which is His Word. He said, my word will go out. Well, remember something. What goes out will not return to me void. Cast your bread upon the water. We can go through all of those type of little tidbit scriptures, but the fact remains that religion itself is toxic poison. Jesus has never been toxic. He loves, remember how Pilate was so confounded? You know, even he, as vile as he was, he could find no fault in Jesus. And here he was listening to the religious people out there who are the ones who were preaching a Messiah is coming. No wonder the world doesn't listen to us anymore. Heard too much, folks. The peace that surpasses all understanding is by that sword, which is the word of God that divides. And it still does. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Number two, toxic faith lifestyle, laziness. We're expecting God to do everything for us. Now, I hear this, and I've seen it over the years, to where I'm trusting in the Lord to heal them. But the Lord sent the remedy for the disease they have. And He sent a doctor that knows how to take it. Nope. I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to ask God to take care of it. What are we going to do when you finally do hear that voice from God? And He's saying, you kept turning them away every time I sent them there. So therefore, toxic faith lifestyles is a lifestyle of laziness. You set back. I know I did this with my New Testament professors and all of this. As being young, being new in studying the Word, saying, Lord, I didn't have time today because I was at the prison, at the jail, and in revival, so just going to have to give me the answers to those questions. He never did. I finally came to my senses, and then I started studying till midnight to remind myself that God is not going to give me what I do not seek to hear or to understand. Now, when I said yes to Jesus, which I cannot really tell you at a specific point, I can tell you around an age, because looking back on it, I cannot remember not believing that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't ever remember having a problem in the believing Him as to who He is. But I did make the profession of faith, and you know, coming forward, you all know, most of you do that story. But it's an idea that God is always revealing Himself to us. Therefore, when we stand before Him, we stand without excuse, because He said, I will have revealed myself. John 6:26-29. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me. Now, He's talking to all of these followers that were there. But, you know, He'd already fed them. He already gave them the food and the fish and, you know, and the bread. And they're saying, oh, Lord, you know, tell us this is why I'm going. And He said, nah, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I've fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. They replied, but we want to perform God's work too. What should we do? Jesus told them, This is the only work that God wants from you. Now listen to that. The only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Jesus is telling them this. He said, this is the only work. But what they call too simple was so simple they refused to accept the truth. The only work God wants from you, believe in the one he has sent. You know what's exciting about that? God himself gave us the ability to believe. So everything that is there is of God. It's what God has done. Number three, toxic presumption upon God. That's this name it and claim it. Man, is that toxic. James 4, 2 and 3. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Well, that's James, of course, and people said James a legalist. James was also the half-brother to Jesus. And another point on James, he did not become a believer until after the resurrection. Jesus' whole family did not believe he was who he said he was, except for his mother. And she kept it in her heart. She pondered those things simply because she didn't understand it. But she knew. But not the brothers. If y'all remember, too, in your studies, that when they came to get Jesus and they said, your mother and your brothers are out here, and the scripture says they thought that he was out of his mind. His family thought he'd lost his mind because everybody was hating him for doing good. It wasn't Jesus that was nuts, was it? So name it and claim it. Yeah, it's not the way it goes, folks. That's a mistake when we start saying, all you have to do, young Christian, you name it and God will give it to you. And that in itself is a false doctrine. God says you don't get it because of your greed. Number four, toxic control teachers. Very dangerous. I would say more dangerous than just about any of the rest of these combined. Toxic control teachers. They use scripture out of context to control others. Folks, there are people that are frightened to the point of shaking because somebody out there has told them that if they didn't do this and do that, they were going to hell. And it would mean, and not only that, now that you're saved, in order for you to remain saved, I'm going to write a bunch of stuff in the book for you. Now, I'll sell you the book, but, you know, and not only that, I will send you a prayer rug or prayer handkerchief or a piece of paper if you'll only send in $100. Now, if you don't do that and you die, you're going to go to hell. You'd be surprised how many people fall into that trap, folks. Sadly, it is true, and sadly, so often it is pushed within churches. Matthew 23:4. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. That's what the Pharisees had done. You got to remember, it was dealing with the Mosaic law, the laws of Moses, as they call it. Well, that wasn't enough for a group of the religious rulers at this time. In order to keep the people under control, if there wasn't a law that was written in stone, then they ended up writing somewhere around 3,000 more laws. Those were the laws that they were confronting Jesus with. Well, your disciples don't keep the law. And every time they would confront Jesus, he would let them know, that's not God, that's not my Father's laws. Those laws are man-made. Has nothing to do with what you're telling them. And Jesus stayed into those tussles with them. Matthew 23, verse 15. Here is where every preacher and every teacher needs to take time and slowly learn what God is wanting you to do, because anytime you see woe, W-O-E, in the scripture, and anytime you, especially when Jesus says woe, that means we better woe. But it also means from him when he's saying it, meaning you're bringing judgment on yourself. Woe. Stop. Back up. Here it is. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, well, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. That's Jesus talking to them. And, of course, we have the folk of our day and in these days saying, that wasn't very Christ-like for you to say that, Jesus. Can't believe it, you'd say something like that. Now, is that really Christian? It is really Christian. When you stand for the truth, the only truth that you're going to find that's going to bring you the peace is the truth that Jesus gives. Take your studies, study them, look up references dealing with those areas, and you will find that this toxic faith, toxic religion, is what is destroying the churches today. Now, people will get angry when you tell the truth, but the truth will be what eventually they will focus their mind on, and they may hate you today, but later on, and we may have to wait till we get in eternity, they'll be tickled to death to hug your neck. Tell them the truth. Yes, ma'am.
In that statement he just made, why would he say over land and sea?
Because they were going over to convert people into a religion. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, they're going over throughout the known world of that day. These people were going over, and they were converting people to their religion, their belief. And then he said, when you do that, well, they become twice as much a son of hell as you are.
So they weren't using, using God.
No, it was a religion. It was right. But notice in our generation, a new religion will pop up right and left all time. Here's something to pay attention to, though. Every one of the cults or false religions will always have a tint or hint of Scripture. They always start off with Scripture, misquoted, misused. And if that don't work, they'll get back to the old English of the King James, and they'll have so many thous and these in there. You cannot deny that it had to come from God.
I noticed in the News Enterprise, in, I think it was in December, there's a new church that has developed in Elizabethtown. And I don't remember what they called themselves because it wasn't important to me, because it... Just describing the church itself, it was all about brotherly love and coming together in love. And it's a lot of love in it.
And in that focus, remember too, people can use the Bible and make the Bible, the book, an idol, and leave out the author. That's what they were doing. They were studying the word. They were studying the prophets. And then what they liked of the prophets, because you got to remember the people they were going to and that they were teaching or they were winning over, they were not scholars. That was the general population that were going out and leading people to serve them rather than God. It continues. Yes, ma'am.
Remembering back when we first started tonight and you were talking about that our God is the only one that brings peace.
Yes.
And I was thinking if the leaders of our nation, like, you know, our senators and representatives and our president or whoever, if they truly believed that America, you know, was founded on God, that they wouldn't be trying to make peace with any of these other nations that worship other gods other than our God, because there will be no peace. There's no way of ever making peace with any.
And Jesus said,
they don't have
yes. And Jesus said himself, and in those days they will cry, peace, peace, but peace will not be there. For nation will rise against nation.